Welcome to Inside the Newsroom, the Sentinel Records weekly podcast from the Razorback Campers Health Studio that takes a closer look at news and sports in Garland County. The second annual Mike Dugan Invitational is set for February 2nd through 5th at Majestic Park. Majestic Park General Manager Derek Phillips is with us today to discuss the tournament and upcoming events at the park. To start off with, I know this is the second annual Dugan Invitational. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about what it is and kind of how it got started.
Well, you know, we wanted to kick off our opening of a park with a really good college tournament. It's the kind of the time of year to where it's early in the year and college is about all you can do this early. We wanted a premier event and we have some contacts with some coaches. And so we wanted to have a college tournament. Well, great friend Mike Dugan, a huge part of the past there and the Majestic Park being what it is, passed in February in 21, and we just immediately knew with his connection to Henderson State, he was their SID many years ago, with his connection to Henderson State and the park, what better way to kick off the park last year, first playing, than to have a memorial tournament in the name of Mike Dugan. And so that's how this tournament became the Dugan. We always intended to have a preseason college tournament because we want to have premier events, high school and college.
Right.
And then when Mike passed, and as much as, you know, he loved everything baseball and his connections with Henderson, we just thought this would be the ideal thing to put his name on and make it an annual event, which is, you know, it's great. We got 10 teams in town, 10 college teams in town from February 2nd through February 5th. And we've added being part of another memorial tournament, which will play here at Majestic Park, that's fast pitch softball, with 8 college fast pitch teams.
Oh, wow.
And that'll be part of it too. So just make the total event there bigger. And mm-hmm. So it's just really exciting.
So, you know, tell me a little bit more about Mike. I mean, obviously, you know, if anybody that knows who he is or knows much about baseball during Hot Springs, they know who Mike is. But, you know, he was more than just a baseball historian, the guy who was involved with all this. There's a lot to him.
Yeah, for sure. So I met Mike about 20 years ago when I worked for the Boys and Girls Club, and he was on the board and super interested in the kids and baseball. I mean, that was his thing. Huge Cardinal fan. They love baseball, Razorbacks, you know, Henderson, and the kids here locally. And he just knew so much about sports and had that great voice. He did a lot of commentating or you know, calling games. I liked to call him the Bob Costas of Hot Springs. That's just what I thought of him, you know. Great guy, great friend. And I had left the Boys and Girls Club in 08, and Mike and I stayed in touch, and we developed a really good friendship, and we stayed in touch, and I would go by and see him at Merritt Wholesale, you know, anytime I was in town. And when this job and this park became something, he called me, you know, right away. He's like, Derek, I want you to consider coming to doing this. And so we reconnected on a level where we talked a lot more. Mm-hmm. And you know, he has so many dreams and aspirations for the park and, you know, what it could be. And as much as he loved, you know, big time baseball and, you know, college ball and all that stuff too, he really had a passion for the kids in the community. You know, he was played a key role in helping me start the Majestic Park Scholarship Fund. Mm-hmm. And a lot of money was donated in his name. It's a great thing. It's a 501c3 strictly for helping kids pay to play there and get equipment. Mike was on the board for a long time at Hot Springs Boys and Girls Club, and he always saw, you know, the need to help kids that couldn't afford to pay, you know, to be able to pay. So he was a big part of helping me start the scholarship fund. And he grew up there. I mean, he told me stories of so many things about playing tennis and swimming and growing up in that area at the Hot Springs Boys and Girls Club, or back then Hot Springs Boys Club.
Right. You kind of mentioned earlier a little bit about how the idea for the tournament came about, mm-hmm. but you know, where was the, who kind of came up with the initial idea for, you know, a baseball tournament? I mean, you know, obviously with Mike's passing in, you mm-hmm. know, February of 21.
So you mean before we called it the Dugan?
Right.
Just the tournament?
Right.
Well, so I was hired before construction started in April of 20. I think it was the week before we took the first bid for the park. So and the park didn't actually officially start playing till January of 2022. So there's a 2-year period there where one of my biggest responsibilities as the GM of the park was to oversee construction, you know, from our side. Hill and Cox, Tim Wilson, shout out. They did a great job. And that was Tim's job, really. But obviously we wanted whoever was going to run this place to kind of have their hands in it. And we made a lot of changes and a lot of, you know, additions and all that kind of stuff together. So that was one of my biggest jobs. But besides that, I had time to sit around and prepare a schedule and kind of get the league how we wanted to run it. So, you know, I think in the 2 years I was there, I was reaching out to a lot of my baseball contacts. And I have a relationship with Coach Hooten at Henderson.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I knew we had this big field coming, the Babe Ruth field. And I wanted to have, you know, more than just youth league and youth tournaments. This park, you know, we're part of the AP commission, so probably a little more than 50% of our mission is to support the local community and the kids, which that's huge. That's not to say that's not a big part of our mission, but the other part of the mission as the AP commission is to bring in people to town on the weekends. So, right. You know, weekdays, league, weekend tournaments. And, you know, I thought, let's think outside the box and do our own invitational, talk to Cody about it at Henderson. Immediately started talking to Coach Howard at OBU and Coach Pettigrew at SAU and started just reaching out to different schools. Troy Mitchell has been a big help in this as well. He's been an SID at Henderson as well.
Mm-hmm.
He was helping me find, you know, teams to reach out and contact. And so we had sort of found out, because this is not a tournament,
right.
And I call it the Invitational. These teams don't really care if they play in advance and win a trophy.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for games that are called in-region games.
Right.
So the Henderson and all those guys are part of the Greater American, the GAC.
Mm-hmm.
The other schools we've invited are part of the MIAA. Well, when they play each other, these in-region games, it gives them points or rankings to advance at the end of the season for the they're to the World Series,
right?
Like SAU went to last year. And we like to brag a little bit, may not have had anything to do with it, but we did get all these teams in region games. And I think 5 of the 9 participants last year advanced into what you would call the College World Series for Division II,
right?
You know, meaning the first round games. Besides Henderson, Ouachita, and SAU, Northeastern State
mm-hmm.
went and played and did really good. I believe maybe Delta did too. Delta State was there last year. So I wanted to have something different than a tournament park that was just youth tournaments every weekend and really explore the high school and college side of it. I've never really done a ton of that, especially the college side. I've done a little bit of I've helped host some state tournaments at other places and started the Southwest Sporting Goods Invitational, which is coming in March, which I'm super excited about. We can get into that in a minute. But I wanted to do more college stuff. National mm-hmm. Park and Champions play here. It's their home field. We have a use agreement with each school, and they play their home games here. And so I wanted to do more college stuff. We hosted the GAC Championship last year. Big deal. We don't have it this year. We're working to get it back, and I think we will. But I wanted to, you know, have different events. And it's really cool being part of the AP Commission to bring in now 18 college teams, but 10 baseball teams we brought in that are going to be staying in Hot Springs for 4 nights and staying in our hotels and eating in our restaurants and spending, you know, money
right.
here in town. So I think that's really exciting.
Yeah. So if I remember correctly,
mm-hmm.
the Invitational, was it the first thing that y'all had at the park last year?
We had an event, but it wasn't games.
Okay.
With Kevin Copps. He came out and spoke, former Razorback great, current MLB player. I think he's maybe in AAA now. He came out and did a speaking event.
Right.
And we passed out baseball cards, and he autographed them all, and he was great. That was in late January.
Right.
The Dugan was the first official games played there at the park.
Okay. And things obviously didn't go quite according to plan.
Unbelievable.
We had, I think it was called Winter Storm Landon, came blowing through, ended up postponing everything at least one day, I thought. Maybe
it was,
two.
It was scheduled to start on Thursday, just like this year. Thursday through Sunday, 4 days. These teams all want at least 3. Most of them want 4 games. And that winter storm last year started to come through. And I guess it came through kind of Wednesday, Thursday. And you know, these teams from the MIAA are coming, and some of the GAC teams are coming from parts of Oklahoma and parts of Missouri. Well, that mm-hmm. storm really came through between Little Rock and the top of Missouri. And
right.
so it just covered that area, and they were really wanting to play these games. I didn't know all this about college scheduling. It's kind of interesting, but they only have so many games they can play and so many times they can play, so they don't want to miss any games. So they were really wanting to play, and it the ice came through, and it was, you know, it was not great here, but it was worse that way. And couple of the Oklahoma schools kind of went around the other side of Texas and came in. I thought that was interesting. And the other schools said, hey, we'll just take our time and come a day later and travel. And so we were supposed to start Thursday at 10 a.m. And we kind of coordinated with these guys, and they were great to work with, these coaches and these schools. It was, like I said, I've never really worked with colleges. And it was, you know, they were great to work with for rescheduling. And it was Saturday morning, and we decided to start Saturday, I think at noon or 11. And it might have been Friday afternoon. I called Cody at Henderson. I was like, is there still snow and ice on your field? No, it's all gone. Our field was under ice.
Right.
I mean, I stuck my finger in, and it was like over an inch. I'm like, I don't know how we're going to do this. I don't know what we're going to do to get this off. Because it was only supposed to get up to maybe 35 that mm-hmm. day. Well, the city came in, fire department came in and helped. We got all our staff down there, and we started watering the ice a little bit to try to melt it, because our turf is built different than Henderson's. That's why there's melted faster. So we started kind of melting it, and it ran through. And we were supposed to start, I want to say, at 11. And by 3 o'clock, we started, and we didn't really miss too many games. Henderson and Wichita, or Henderson, took on a couple of games, mm-hmm. and we actually got it in with just a couple of games lost, and it ended up being still a pretty good event. It was super cold at nights that week. I mean, we had some crazy temperatures that week, single digits. We even had one game that the teams canceled, which you just don't ever see. You know, if the field's there and ready to go and umpires and there's baseballs, you know,
right.
The teams want to play. And I think it was Arkansas Tech and Delta State, and they were sitting there watching the game, and it got to run a little bit late, and it was getting down well below 30. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you know what, we'll pick this up later on in the season, which I didn't blame them. Those college games are long.
Oh, yeah.
Those are long games. So, yeah, it was a great event last year. It was just, I'll be honest, if that had been, you know, year two or three or six or down the road, we probably would have said, hey, guys, you know, it's not safe conditions. The field's under ice. Maybe we should just postpone this. But being the first ever, being the Dugan, John Muldoon and I, our assistant general manager, we were determined to get that event off regardless of what the weather was doing. And it worked out good.
Yeah. You know, I was out there for a few games, and best I can recall, had good attendance, had lots of fans out there from all over, not just here in Arkansas.
I think we had decent attendance for the weather. I think once we hosted that tournament and then saw the GAC later in the year, though, because mm-hmm. that thing, you know, the park down there was packed
right
with that tournament. It was a beautiful weekend, I think, in May when we played the GAC, and really warm. We had good crowds, but you're talking about ice on the road, and I don't know if it got above 40 for any of the Dugan. We ended up playing Saturday, Sunday, Monday. We might have had one game Tuesday. One of the teams wanted to stick around. But so, yeah, some really, really cold temperatures. So mm-hmm. I'm hoping for, and if I remember last year, you know, you had that ice and that freeze and that crazy, you know, really low temperatures. I want to say the weekend after it was like 65 and sunny. Yeah. So I'm hoping to get that weekend this year and really get those crowds there for that.
Yeah. Since you brought that up, you know, have y'all kind of made any plans, you know, for inclement weather this year?
Not really. And it's kind of like hosting some of the high school tournaments at the beginning of the year. They have a short window mm-hmm. when they can play. And there's about 2 weeks for preseason tournaments. The weekend we're doing it, the weekend after, and a lot of them are in these longtime traditional tournaments that are weekend after.
Right.
And so it's like if you can't play that weekend, you kind of, there's not really a makeup.
Right.
We kind of play it by ear like last year, and we back it up a little bit or squeeze some in or move some more to Henderson, maybe ask Hot Springs for a field for a day at the high school or something. But you can't move it around. It's like the high school tournament we had last year. They play that first week in their preseason tournaments, and then they start their conference schedule, and you don't get them to just come down and play a tournament later mm-hmm. when they're in conference because of pitching.
Right.
They're not going to burn up pitchers once conference starts.
Right.
So it's kind of like for us, it's this weekend or nothing. And yeah. The last 2 years, we've had some awful February weather. The year before, about the same time in February, it was awful. So I'm hoping for a break this year. Hoping that trend doesn't continue to be ice, snow, and single digits.
Right.
Maybe we got rid of that back whatever we had there during Christmas.
Right. Know? Let's hope.
Inside the Newsroom is sponsored by Reiser Ford and Lincoln. On the hunt for a new truck or car, stop by 4201 Central Avenue in Hot Springs today, or call 501-525-0800 today for all your truck and car needs.
So tell me a little bit about this softball aspect of the invitation.
Henderson's coach called a few months ago and wanted to expand on a tournament they do, the Mike McGee, Mike's coached at Henderson as well, and the Ronnie Hawkins Memorial Tournament they've been kind of doing. They wanted to make it bigger, and they asked us if we were interested in hosting a few games to make it bigger and along lines of the same weekend as the Dugan. And I know both those guys really well, worked with them. Ronnie Hawkins, longtime umpire and well-known in this area, passed away. And, of course, I knew Mike. He coached at Henderson. And I wanted to be a part of it, and it brings more people to Hot Springs. You know, they were doing this tournament at Henderson and Ouachita and just having a memorial, and they wanted to make it bigger. They wanted a turf field in case there's conditions. Mm-hmm. And so I was really excited to work with them on that and help bring some more games here and probably grow that event in years to come at our park. I'd almost like to just host it for them, kind of like we do the Dugan, just bring the whole thing here. So with the Dugan, we've got one baseball field they can play on.
Right.
One big field. For the fast pitch softball, we've got four fields they can play on. So we could really grow that part of it. And, you know, it's great bringing those colleges to town for multiple nights. They've got 20 to 25 kids on a team. Mm-hmm. So that's hotel rooms. You got to feed them and all that stuff. So it's beneficial for our business as the AP Commission, Visit Hot Springs, to host these tournaments and bring these people to town. So I was really excited to bring them in.
Yeah. So where will those games be played? Is there one field, or are they just going to kind of separate out?
We're going to use two fields at the park, and since we're just using two, we're going to use the two towards the front of the park, Jackie Robinson Field and Honus Wagner Field.
Okay. So, you know, you said earlier that there's 10 teams coming for the baseball. Most of these teams, the same ones from last year?
So SAU, Henderson, OBU are coming back. They're the same from the GAC. And Northeastern Oklahoma and Northwest Missouri are coming back. Mm-hmm. That's five of the teams. There's 10. So some of the new teams are Southeast Oklahoma and East Central from the GAC. We invited UA Fort Smith. They're not in either conference, but mm-hmm. because where they're located, they count as in-region games.
Right. Because they're in the Lone Star.
Lone Star. Right. That's right. So that's eight of the 10 teams. Washburn. Mm-hmm. They're coming as what's a new team. So Washburn, Southeast Oklahoma, East Central, and UAFS are some of the new teams that are coming. And I'll give Coach Pettigrew at SAU credit. He's like, Derek, you're going to make this annual event. You need to set them up for years to come. And I really found that out this year more than last year. As I reach out to these coaches in these conferences that are in-region conferences, there's one in Minnesota, too, that's an in-region of schools. He's like, you need to line these guys up. And as I've been communicating with them, some of them are set for these tournaments for the next couple of years.
Right.
So trying to get ahead of the game a little bit and get some scheduled for 24 and 25 and maybe even 26, because there's some big tournaments. There's a really big one in Houston that some of the teams like to go to. Henderson has a pretty good one, and there's some more. And so mm-hmm. I'm trying to get these teams lined. And I want to bring new teams too. The one team I left out was Rogers State.
Okay.
They were here last year, and they're coming back. So to me, having new teams or the same teams, just bringing people to town, to me is huge. But I'd like to change it up every year too, though.
Right. And then obviously, like you said earlier, you know, there's most of these teams from last year, you know, made it into the playoffs, made it to the College World Series, at least the first round. Mm-hmm. I know SAU made it pretty deep.
They actually made the World Series of NCAA, you know, Division II. OBU and Henderson both got bids. We got three bids from the GAC, which I think is pretty rare. Mm-hmm. I think it's usually, you know, your winner, like SAU, won the automatic conference. They got the automatic. They'd have gone anyway.
Right.
But Henderson and Ouachita did good in the tournament and good in the Dugan. It was some good extra in-region games they got that helped them, you know, have better rankings at the end of the year. And Northeast Oklahoma, they have a new coach this year. They won their conference, and I'm sorry, they didn't win their conference, but they got the bid. They came in second place, but they got an at-large bid too. And we like to think we had a little bit to do with that, providing them these games here.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. I guess it was four of the nine teams last year made the playoffs. So that's pretty cool.
Right.
Maybe five. I can't remember if Delta State made it or not. Delta State came last year. That was an interesting story. As we were promoting this tournament last year, Arkansas Tech had reached out to me. We were only going to do eight teams, and I had them set – We were only going to do six teams, sorry, because these college games are long.
Right.
And do it all at Majestic Park. We do play some games at Henderson and Wachita now because there's more games, and these games last 3+ hours.
Right.
There's only so many games you can host at one place. But anyway, Arkansas Tech called last year, and they wanted to play, and then they realized they had a home game with Delta, and so they called Delta and said, hey, let's just both go up there and play. So that's how we ended up with Delta State. They're in the – I guess that's still called the Gulf South, right?
Yeah.
It's cool getting these teams from out of town. The college is bringing in Christian Brothers and Lincoln University, Missouri Southern, and they have Northeastern State coming too, and then Henderson, Washita, and UAM. Seems like I'm forgetting one, but that's pretty good off the top of my head. There's one more. There's eight teams coming to that one. And Henderson and Washita will play at their fields. UAM will kind of use ours as their home field for the 2 days. The softball tournament is just Friday and Saturday. Friday at 2 and 4:30, and Saturday at 12 and 2:30.
Okay.
There'll be two games on two fields, so four total games each day at the park.
Okay. So it definitely sounds like a busy weekend, and exciting weekend of baseball and softball.
Yeah, if I had a crystal ball, I might not have had that this year or not. I don't know. The statue's getting put in that following Monday, February 6th at 10:30. The Babe Ruth statue is going in. I guess they'll be doing the installation over the weekend, but we can work around that. We can work around anything, make that happen. So that's all good.
Yeah,
that's really exciting to get that done.
Yeah,
that'll be a nice addition to the park. We've added signage at that end and the statue coming, and we've done a lot. I told people this all last year. Like, this is going to be a different looking park when you come this year. The statue getting in, the signage we've added, and some of the beautification we've added around the park. It's really going to, you know, be a different park. We've added and you know, some neat things into the park like that, and I just think it adds to the history and nostalgia of what the park was meant to be. That was one thing I really mentioned earlier about Mike Dugan, was he was a big part of the team that was working to bring this park there and call it Majestic Park, is to kind of recapture and highlight the history. When I worked at the Boys and Girls Club 20 years ago, I didn't know the history. I'm from Arkadelphia. I spent a ton of time in Hot Springs. I did not know the history of Major League Baseball and all these stars in Hot Springs back then. And I'm sort of a baseball nut, but my you know, I was a fan of the teams of the 80s, you know, as a kid growing up in that era playing ball and collecting baseball cards at that time. It's fascinating. Hank Aaron, Jackie Robinson, Babe Ruth, all these players. Stan Musial never played in Hot Springs, but spent some time here having fun. It's just unreal. I don't know there's too many other communities besides the cities they played in, like Detroit, Chicago, New York, Cleveland, those cities. I don't know if there's these other cities that can compare to the history of what happened in Hot Springs in the early 1900s.
Right.
Hank Aaron played one game in Hot Springs as the Negro League used to move from city to city, didn't have a home field World Series, and they were going from like Mississippi to somewhere west of here, and they stopped and played one game at that site where we are now. And Hank Aaron had an awesome World Series, and it's on our one of our trail signs for the historic baseball trail. We moved four historic baseball trail signs into the park too, just to add to the signage. And
right,
I mean, that's where a lot of the signs should be anyway, right? The Majestic Park sign is there. Jackie Robinson, the Hank Aaron sign. And I think the Dean Brothers sign is there, too. Dizzy and Daffy Dean actually have family members still in Hot Springs, so that's pretty cool, too.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you.
Yeah, me too. Like I said, the Babe Ruth statue, February 6th at 10:30, and then, you know, we'll kick off play right after that. We've got youth tournament starting February 24th, and we don't have a weekend off till mid-July again. The Southwest Sporting Goods Classic, there's six high schools coming, all with Division I recruits. Really excited about that. The league's going to kick off registrations now, majesticpark.org. And we'll start practices March 6th, games March 27th, and run that through June 2nd. And then we've got our summer lined up, too, as well. It's going to be a really good summer again. So we're excited. We won some awards, too, recently. That's really nice. So it's just everything's going really good. We're excited. If you have any questions or anything, if you're listening to this, just go to our website. It's got phone numbers and information on there, majesticpark.org.
This has been an episode of Inside the Newsroom from the Razorback Camper Sales Studio. New episodes are released every Sunday. Thank you for listening.